Yeah, it occurs to me. I hadn't mentioned since the top of the show. Katie out again today. She had a getting her nose operated on for some reason. I don't know. Yesterday, and what did we say? We said the day before. We said, Katie, you're going to be. I said she's going to be out 2 days. She's stubborn. She said one. I FaceTimed her yesterday about 5 o'clock, and most of the bulk of what she said to me was like she just was out of it completely. I don't even know how she answered her phone. Knew right then she was out. I expect her that she will be back tomorrow. Sam Amick will join us at 8 o'clock to break down the Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas trade. And as we have all week, it's a bribery week for you, the listener. Marvel Universe Live, you're going to get another chance at a four-pack, family four-pack of tickets to go see them next month. Kyle's very excited about that. And
super amped.
Florida Georgia Line tickets as well. Just what we're following today, and a couple. I love ESPN Stats and Info. They always have some pretty good blurbs. The Cavs and Celtics obviously pulling off the Irving Thomas trade. It's the first time that two players who competed against each other in an NBA Finals or semifinal series, never mind two players coming off All-Star seasons, first time they were traded for each other in the offseason. It's also the first time that two players coming off a season in which they averaged at least 25 points per game were traded for each other. So that's interesting. In baseball yesterday, Doug Fister allowed a leadoff home run to Francisco Lindor. Why am I telling you that? Because he went on and he went the distance with a complete game one-hitter. First time a pitcher has given up a leadoff home run and then gone all the way for a complete game one-hitter since Jack McDowell did it in 1991 after Paul Molitor homered to start the bottom of the first inning.
Well, Lindor's manager. No, he's at the Twins.
Yes.
Not the Indians, that's right.
I don't know. I do not know how people find this information. Former Giant Eduardo Nunez, you'll love this, Giants fans. He homered for the fifth time since he was traded to the Red Sox. Fifth time in 21 games. He hit 4 home runs in 302 at-bats for the Giants all season long. No other player in Major League history has homered 5 times in his first 25 games for a team after playing for another team and producing fewer than 5 home runs and 300 at-bats. Again, I don't – like, what nerd is finding these stats? They're great little nuggets, but some intern is just scrolling. And finally, Anthony Rizzo. Joe Maddon put him at third base for a minute in the ninth inning yesterday when the Cubs beat the Reds. He didn't have to field a ball, but he becomes the first left-hander to play third base since Don Mattingly played 3 games there, including 2 starts, in August of 1986. 31 years ago since there's been a lefty at third base. All right, there you go. There's some nuggets for you. Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas, the complete trade. Kyrie Irving sent for, let's see, it was Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizic, and Brooklyn's unprotected 2018 first-rounder. Some notes that we shared earlier. Isaiah Thomas is 28. Kyrie Irving is 25. That's fairly interesting because they were in the same exact draft, 2011. Kyrie Irving was the number one pick. Isaiah Thomas was the final pick in the draft. When looking at just the straight-up numbers last year, Isaiah Thomas, and I'll round up a bit here, 29.6 6 assists, excuse me, and just under 3 rebounds, whereas Kyrie Irving, 25 points, 6 assists, and just over 3 rebounds. There's a lot more to their games, obviously, but on spec, you know, Kyrie Irving, I believe, is the better player than Isaiah Thomas. He's also younger. He's a better defender, which isn't saying much. But it'll be very interesting, Kyle, to see what exactly Cleveland is losing at that point guard position. I think LeBron James is the absolute perfect dude for Isaiah Thomas. I don't know if there's a better guy in the NBA for Isaiah Thomas to play with than LeBron James and how he distributes the ball. And now you've got Jay Crowder in there. So now you're going with a big three of Isaiah Thomas, LeBron James, Kevin Love. Now you throw in Jay Crowder. You have a Tristan Thompson. It's a very interesting Cleveland team. I still believe Cleveland, and so does Vegas, still believes that Cleveland is the favorite to come out of the Eastern Conference.
What's going to be interesting is when, because Kyrie could take over a game for Cleveland. We saw it happen in multiple years against the Warriors in the finals. We saw it against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. There were times where LeBron would just let Kyrie Irving go.
Yeah.
And say, go score 40. I don't know if Isaiah will be able to do that at the level that Kyrie did. And that is what's going to be interesting to me, because every player in the league would benefit from playing alongside LeBron.
Sure.
Because he can mold himself to fit whatever his supporting cast needs. But it's going to be interesting to see how that team functions when LeBron sits, or when LeBron's gonna take a rest, quote unquote, and go chill on offense and say, Isaiah, go do stuff. Because Kyrie is the best one-on-one player in the league for me. His handle, his ability to finish at the rim is incredible.
The best one-on-one player in the league.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's amazing.
He's amazing with the ball in his hands.
I think he's amazing.
And I just don't.
Better
Isaiah
than Steph Curry? I'm asking.
Yeah, I think he's a better shot maker than Steph.
Better than LeBron James?
Yeah, just from a pure.
Okay.
Dribbling and then getting the ball. Like, Klay Thompson defends him so well.
Sure.
And Kyrie still gets buckets on him.
Isaiah Thomas was named by the Players Association in their awards the best clutch performer. And clutch and those stats always get a little bit skewed. Obviously, if you're the guy on a team, you're going to have the ball in your hands, et cetera, et cetera. Isaiah Thomas did lead the NBA in fourth quarter points, made several game winners throughout the season and throughout the postseason as well. That will be interesting to see how that adjusts and who has the ball in their hands. I mean, who's gonna have the ball in their hands in the fourth quarter? Honest to goodness, I think LeBron James is one guy in the league that might not mind. Hey, go ahead, Isaiah. You got the open shot. Take the open shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Boston now rolls out. They both roll out scary, scary teams. I think Boston is a better team. I think Cleveland is better over. How do I phrase this? It sounds counterproductive. Boston from 1 to 12, I think, is better than Cleveland. The difference is that Boston doesn't have Isaiah Thomas. Or, excuse me, Boston doesn't have LeBron James. I think LeBron James is that difference, where I still believe Cleveland is going to come out of the East. But, my God, Kyle, now you've got opening night. For those teams, you got Cleveland and Boston playing. They're going to play four times this year at least. Then you get to the playoffs. And now it very much seems in the NBA that you're going into next season, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but we had this conversation last year. If I were to tell you right now, hey, you got $150,000 that your rich uncle just decided to give you, but you have to bet it on one of two things. Either A, your bet is that the Golden State Warriors will be in the finals and they will face either Cleveland or Boston, or you take that $150,000 and you can bet on the field. Meaning, if Golden State, if anyone gets into the finals other than Golden State, Boston, or Cleveland, any team, you win the bet. Are you betting on Golden State and either Boston or Cleveland, or are you betting on the field?
I'm taking the first one.
So am I. I'm saying there are three teams in the NBA that are eligible for the finals. Three. That's it. And I don't know that that's a good thing or not, and this is a conversation we had all last year, and a lot of us were saying, I think I said it at one point, you know what, how many times do you go into a season and you think, well, it's going to be this team and this team, and then lo and behold, at the end of the year, it's something different. Well, that didn't happen last year. You had the rematch. Again, the rubber match, if you will. Cavs-Warriors. Now, I'm not as confident as the Cavs getting into the finals this year as I was last year because of age and because of the trade and because of how good Boston is getting and has gotten. But I don't know that I necessarily enjoy the fact, and this just isn't me being a Kings fan. Kings weren't going to make the finals this year. Film at 11. But I don't know if it's a good thing when we're sitting here in August going, yeah, I can narrow it down to three teams who's going to be in the finals. And you know what? Odds are you can narrow it down to two. And that's, of course, barring injury to any of those teams, you're going to have something else in there. But it's a huge trade. And this is Isaiah Thomas's fourth team now, which is pretty crazy in itself. Obviously drafted – by us right here in Sacramento, sent to Phoenix. And when you look at, by the way, that's something we could talk about with Sam Amick in the 8 o'clock hour. Maybe that's my leadoff question to him, is rate the trades. Who got a better return for Isaiah Thomas? Was it Danny Ainge getting back Kyrie Irving? Or was it Sacramento getting back Alex Oriaki in a trade exception? Oh, by the way, I believe Danny Ainge also got a trade exception as well. I forgot about that. He really did. So which return is better? Weigh in at 339-1140. Alex Oriaki or Kyrie Irving?
Hey, he was nice at UConn and Mizzou.
He was. Don't sleep on Alex. People are still sleeping on him. His career ain't over, I don't think. Hell, is he playing right now? I got to find out. Where in the world is Alex Oriaki? Do we even still
have
him?
I'm on it. Europe or somewhere in Asia?
I'm going to say Europe.
All right.
I'm going to say Europe. We'll tell you when we get back, along with Three for Badness. This is the Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, before you get started, we do have a major upset in the Where in the World is Alex Oriaki deal. You pointed that out to me. I only read part of the thing. I was getting ready to say, he's in Europe because he played for Turkey last year with a Sokar Petkim of the Turkish Basketball First League. He appeared in 10 games, and then on January 7th, he signed with Garzas La Plata of the Liga Nacional de Baloncesto.
Nailed it.
Thank you. That's exactly how it's pronounced.
I believe it's Baloncesto.
In Puerto Rico. Atta babe. So where are what do we say? Either Europe or
Asia.
Or Asia. Sorry, we're both wrong. Alex Oriaki is in Puerto Rico.
We picked two continents.
What, do we have a 1-8 chance or something? What's number one here?
Number one. Who won the Cleveland and Boston trade?
Yeah, we talked about this at length, and I'm going to, you know, Katie's not here to help me fence it, but I am going to kind of fence it here. I truly believe both teams won this trade. I don't think Danny Ainge wanted to max out Isaiah Thomas. Danny Ainge wasn't going to use Jay Crowder as much, and Jay Crowder wasn't happy about it. Now that they got Jason Tatum, I think that the big thing that hurt Danny was giving up that Brooklyn pick, that unprotected Brooklyn pick this year. But they also have a Laker pick in their back pocket. He still has a little bit of a war chest. And on a team that most likely, if LeBron James leaves at the end of this year, as expected, a team in Boston that's probably going to have a 3 or 4 year run, it being the Eastern Conference representative, I think he's fine with that. I think Ainge made a good trade for his team. At the same time, Cleveland gets back Isaiah Thomas, who can play perfectly with LeBron James. I don't think Cleveland's going to have an issue maxing out Isaiah Thomas. He's going to get paid. They get to add in Jay Crowder, who is a capable offensive guy and a very good wing defender. And they also get that unprotected pick from Brooklyn, which can help them rebuild either with the pick or if they decide to trade it in a draft that's supposed to be one of the best big men drafts the NBA has had in quite a while. So Kyle, for me, I do think it's an even split. I think both teams came out of this okay.
Yeah, I think Cleveland, for me, is the winner off top just because of what they got back, how they helped their team now, and how they could potentially help their team in the future. Something to keep an eye on, though, with that draft pick. Since 2013, two players that have been drafted since 2013 have made All-Star games.
I saw this. You put this out yesterday.
Two have made or one's made an All-Star team. Two have made All-NBA teams.
All-NBA, and mm-hmm. I believe, if I remember correctly, Rudy Gobert is one, mm-hmm. and Giannis is the other one. Attica, whatever the hell.
Antetokounmpo, yeah.
Thank you very much.
That was
much.
In 2013, and they were picks number 15 and 27.
That just goes to show you.
Yeah.
The NBA is a crapshoot. Number two.
Who's the favorite now in the East?
Boston or Cleveland? Well, according to Vegas, Cleveland is still the favorite. And I agree with them. I think Cleveland's the favorite. I also think if everything goes right with both teams, I think Cleveland's the favorite. I also think that Boston is better set up for a minor injury at least. I think they're a deeper team. I think Boston's a better team, as we said in the last segment. 1-12, I think Boston's a better team. I think they have less holes. I think the difference is it's so damn close, and you got LeBron James on Cleveland.
Yes. I mean, that's really what it comes down to
for me. And guess what? I still think both teams are playing for second place. One thing we haven't covered is, does this bring either Cleveland or Boston any closer to beating the Golden State Warriors? I don't think so.
I think it helps Boston some. Isaiah can still play, and now they have another defender to throw it. Kevin Durant.
You mean Cleveland? You said Boston.
Yeah, I meant Cleveland, because now they have another defender to throw it at Kevin Durant. They don't need to have. They don't have to have Iman Shumpert on the floor now. Jay Crowder is he's a better player than any options they had on the wings last year. And I think I think he's going to help them quite a bit.
You're going to have Kyrie Irving at the point guard, Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum kind of splitting around in that area. Al Horford at center. Maybe you move one of them around and put them at the four in small lineups, but you got Marcus Morris. You still got Jaylen Brown. You still have Marcus Smart. They got even though they lost Avery Bradley, Boston has a lot of ammo. I think Boston is the second deepest team in the NBA, 1-12, obviously behind the Golden State Warriors. But you don't have LeBron.
Right.
You don't have LeBron. And hell, they don't even have Kevin Durant. I mean, they don't have that guy. Kyrie Irving is arguably a top 10 player in the NBA. That's their best player now. But damn, Danny Ainge has also rebuilt this team on the fly, and they're set pretty well for the future as well. Number three.
Should John Jones ever be allowed to fight again?
Oh, man, this story kills me. I love John Jones. I love him as a fighter. I do think he's the greatest fighter of all time. I also think this is his third drug test failure, 2 for steroids, 1 for cocaine. I believe that John Jones should be availed of the process. I think he's facing right now a 4-year suspension. That would put him at 34 years old when he returns. Now, you've had mixed martial artists go into their mid to late 30s, and hell, back in the day of Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell, they were going into their early 40s. But if this holds up, if John Jones is found guilty, and if he is given that 4-year suspension, I think we've effectively seen the end of John Jones as we know it. And I think that he will forever be a punchline, forever be a question mark, and forever be, I don't want to call it a sports tragedy, because tragedies are when kids die and stuff like that. But from a sports point of view, it is tragic that amount of talent is wasted on a guy that just literally couldn't keep his nose clean. We'll come back, break down this trade a little bit more. We got a whole hour on this. We'll talk about this trade. Break it out. Again, is Isaiah Thomas a journeyman? Is there a reason for that? We'll update you more on the announcer thing. And John Jones has been getting a ton of crap on Twitter yesterday, but it's the wrong John Jones. We'll tell you about this dude next in The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Already, Kings fans are working. It's always got to tie back to us or people that used to be us. I've had more than one person predict that Cleveland's going to flip that number one pick they got from the Celtics via Brooklyn to New Orleans for DeMarcus Cousins. There you go. I'm not laughing at the thought, by the way. I would not be shocked at all under any circumstance if that did happen. And I also, and I've said this many times, I fully believe that DeMarcus Cousins will not be on the Pelicans next year. It's a good haul. Welcome in. It's all Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas pretty much for the rest of the show, because that is the big deal. If you're just joining us, Kyrie Irving traded to the Boston Celtics in exchange for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Brooklyn's unprotected number one pick, and Ante Zizic. As well. It's a trade that Kyle Madsen behind the glass. Katie is out today. She'll be back tomorrow. Kyle and I have been talking about for the bulk of the day in a trade that I think both sides benefited from. Both sides did the right thing. I think Cleveland and Kobe Altman, their new GM, who has big brass balls in this situation, absolutely came through and set Cleveland up to possibly be a better team this year Yeah, I said it. Not that Isaiah Thomas is better than Kyrie Irving. I don't believe that. But that Isaiah Thomas fits fantastically with LeBron James. And now you just added in Jay Crowder as a wing player that they sorely need, especially a guy that can defend. And you set yourself up either to build for the future with that number one pick or use that number one pick as a trade chip. For example, let's run with the DeMarcus Cousins thing. Let's just run with that for a second. Now, what if they decided to flip that number? What if Cousins camp tells New Orleans, we're not re-signing? Yeah, you know, sometime in January, they get the idea. And they're not going to get anything better than that number one pick. That's a fine haul. And Cleveland now turns around, and now they're rolling out Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Kevin Love, LeBron James, Tristan Thompson, and DeMarcus Cousins. Was that change your mind a little bit with the Warriors at all? Because right now, we both agree, Kyle and I, and most of you on the text line at 44-1140, and you can weigh in at 339-1140, that there are a couple things that are pretty much understood, and no one's arguing. And we'll talk about this with Sam Amick at the top of the hour from USA Today. That, number one, the Warriors are going to be in the finals. Again, this is all barring injury. The Warriors will be in the finals, and either Boston or Cleveland will be in the finals out of the East. And most likely, I still think Cleveland's the favorite. I still think Cleveland is the favorite. And by the way, we haven't even talked about the fact that there's more than a good, as much as there's a good chance that LeBron James is leaving Cleveland at the end of the year, that at some point this year, Dwayne Wade is going to end up on Cleveland, whether through some form of direct trade, which I doubt will happen, or a buyout, unless they deal him somewhere else before the trade deadline, which again seems highly unlikely based on his production and what his contract is. That smells very much like a buyout. So you can add, you may very well be able to add Dwayne Wade for what it's worth, and that's a situation where at this point in Dwayne Wade's career, that's about the perfect position for him. Go on a team where you're like the third or fourth option. You can pick and choose what you do. You don't have to run around the floor. You don't have to lead the team. You're providing championship caliber locker room status. You're LeBron's buddy. You got a pedigree. All the players are going to respect you, and you still have enough in the tank to get a good shot when it's needed. To be that third option that isn't getting double teamed. And Kyle, you retweeted this is an angle I you know, when stuff like this happens, you're going to see all kinds of angles. You retweeted something that caught my eye during the break, and I'm not ripping on you for retweeting this. I just think it's a very interesting tweet in itself. It says, the Boston Celtics traded Isaiah Thomas after his sister passed away. Remember this when you want players to do organizations favors. And I'm not buying that for a second. Isaiah Thomas went through a horrific tragedy, one that's just unimaginable unless you've gone through it. I don't look at this as Boston screwing Isaiah Thomas. If anything, I think Isaiah Thomas, I'd have to ask him, but I think Isaiah Thomas woke up this morning in a great mood, in a wonderful mood.
I think that person was more getting at this, like, loyalty aspect, though.
Sure.
The idea that, hey, it doesn't matter what you do for our team, you're expendable.
I agree.
People expect players to, you know, your Kevin Durant, your Gordon Haywards, your LeBron Jameses, to stick with these franchises. Man, they don't care. And the franchises don't care. The franchise will get rid of a player at the drop of a hat if they think it's going to make them better. And that's what we saw with the Celtics. They got rid of Isaiah Thomas because they didn't want to have to pay him.
This is going to tie back to Kevin Durant at some point, isn't it? It's all going back to Kevin.
No, he's one of the guys for sure.
Right.
But, I mean, Kevin Durant, you had Gordon Hayward this year. You had LeBron James back in 2010. I mean, people want players to stick with these teams and have this loyalty, but it's not reciprocated. And so I think that's more what the point was there.
I think with Isaiah, and Danny Ainge has never come out and said this, but you just got the idea that Danny Ainge did not want to max out Isaiah Thomas. You send Isaiah to Cleveland, and yeah, LeBron James leaving or staying is a huge part of that. But Isaiah Thomas has been very vocal about the fact that he feels he's a max player. He wants to get paid, and good for him. And I can't imagine Cleveland doing this deal without keeping in mind that Isaiah Thomas is going into a contract season. And they'll max out Isaiah Thomas. So now he goes to Cleveland. He gets to play with LeBron James. He gets a one-way ticket to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, and most likely, I think, the finals in general. He gets a shot at a ring. And the Cavs have his bird rights. He could have gotten traded to a lot of different places. Places that he wouldn't want to resign with. Places that he would have lost some money. And now he has an opportunity, and I'll say it again. I think of all the players in the NBA, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody better than LeBron James for Isaiah Thomas and his game and how to play off of that. Danny Ainge said it was a very difficult move and a very difficult phone call yesterday with the Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving trade, that it's something he obviously struggled with and in the end obviously had to pull the trigger as he met with the media at some point to basically discuss the ins and outs of the trade, what didn't happen, and really, you know, letting him go. And it goes without saying that Danny Ainge had a conversation with Kyrie Irving before this trade was consummated on whether or not this was a situation that he would, and Kyrie Irving has a few years left on his deal, but that Kyrie Irving would be comfortable staying in. Kyrie Irving, by all intents and purposes, will happily remain a Boston Celtic. Now, the stats we brought up earlier, one of the numbers, Isaiah Thomas in the 2011 draft, as we all know here in Sacramento, was the last player picked in the draft. Kyrie Irving was the first player picked in the draft. What is interesting, and it's not a huge deal, but I think it is significant, is that Kyrie Irving is 3 years younger than Isaiah Thomas. Picked in the same draft, 3 years younger. That's a big deal. We talked about that in the 6 a.m. hour. I think when you think about the fact that Kyrie Irving is 25 years old, it's a little bit surprising. And maybe it's something you knew, but then when you think about it, it does seem like Kyrie Irving has been in the league for damn near a decade. He just seems, and he plays older than 25. That's a big deal. Because if you go by mathematics, he's entering his prime. He's entering his prime. So Boston now has an opportunity, if they want, to have Kyrie Irving for 8 years, 10 years. They now have their franchise point guard. And if Jason Tatum works out, you now have a franchise wing player. They've got the Lakers pick still stashed. That's going to net him a good player, you'd think. Al Horford will have a couple years left. They just grabbed Gordon Hayward, who's nowhere near old. And Danny Ainge has done a masterful job. The only thing Danny Ainge is guilty of is going up against Cleveland and Golden State. But if LeBron James leaves, if LeBron James leaves Cleveland, that's Boston's conference for 3-4 years, barring injury. Who the hell's going to challenge him? And I get it. We got draft picks coming in. There could be more trades. I mean, you look around the Eastern Conference. Who's gonna challenge him? Washington? If I'm Washington or I'm Toronto today, we haven't talked about this yet. If I'm Washington or Toronto, I'm like, all right.
John Wall's already recruiting Boogie.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Because they're screwed. You know, and this sounds stupid. I'm not gonna say that I'd rather be a part of the Kings fan base than the Raptors or the Wizards. That's a stretch and a half. It really is.
Are you sure?
But I'm going to pull a Stephen A here. I'm not saying I'd rather be a Kings fan than a Wizards or a Raptors fan, but I will say that it's got to be a different, you know, Kings fans are frustrated because we don't even remember what the hell the playoffs are. All the playoffs are to Kings fans are something we watch after the Kings season is over. We watch the big boys in the league take over, and we sit there and we're envious and jealous and all that stuff. And the Wizards and the Raptors are both going to be in the playoffs this year. At least one of them is going to be in the second round, maybe even the third round. They're going to win more games than they lose by a good shot. So why the hell would you want to be a Kings fan? Well, I'll say this is one place where it might be better. One place is that at least with the Kings, if everything goes right with the Kings and they build correctly and most everybody, if not everybody, pans out, they're going to come of age as the Warriors begin to kind of fade a little bit. Cleveland should be long gone. Boston's kind of on a similar track age-wise as the Warriors. They're a little bit younger at some spots, but you have guys like Al Horford in there that are a little bit long in the tooth. If you're Toronto or Washington, you're sitting there going, the best we can hope for is third round. The best we can hope for. We're not beating Boston. We're not beating Cleveland. And God forbid they beat Boston or Cleveland. Even if they did that, odds are you're going to have to beat the other team in the Eastern Conference Finals. You have to go through one of them on the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. You're going to have to beat the other one. It's not happening.
Yeah, the Kings are in a much better place, I think, long term than either the Wizards or the Raptors. I mean, obviously, you'd rather be a Wizards or Raptors fan right for this season.
Sure.
Like, if you have one season to watch basketball and you can't pick, you know, and you have to pick between one of those two teams, you'd be fine with it. Because at least they're going to win some games. They'll be in the playoffs. And getting to the playoffs, you know, maybe you squeak out a few wins and it's exciting.
That's
but
a different
three,
kind
four
of
fr- years, 3-4 years from now?
Screwed.
I'd way rather be
screwed.
A
absolutely. And there's no, listen, caveat. So nobody accuses us of being home. Well, me of being a homer. You're a Warrior guy. Here's a caveat. We don't know if everything is going to work out for the Kings, and if you look at history, it won't. We don't know if Toronto and or Washington will be able to rebuild on the fly when they have to in a few years. We don't know that. They very well easily could. People were saying the same thing about Boston when they were losing Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and that whole Nesby. People were saying Boston's going to suck forever. No, they really didn't. We don't know that. But it is a different type of frustration in D.C. and a different type of frustration in Toronto than Kings fans have to deal with. Kings fans at least have a hope for the future. These guys have great teams. You got players like John Wall and Bradley Beal. Guys like Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. These are great players. These are players that you're happy to build a franchise around. Both teams won 50 games. Well, you know, Toronto won, what, 51? I think Washington 49. They both won 50 games last year. Granted, in the Eastern Conference, but still. So this has been cut off. It is, you know, you want to go Game of Thrones. This is sort of a Game of Thrones situation in the NBA. And as we talked about before, you have three teams in the NBA. You have three. There's no mystery. There's no who's going to be in the finals, who's going to win the West, who's going to win the East. I asked you earlier, and I completely agree with your answer. If I gave you $150,000 to bet and you had two choices, you could bet on two of the Warriors, Cleveland, or Boston, two of those teams being in the finals this year, or you can bet on any other team in the NBA being in the finals other than those three. Where would you bet? You said you'd bet on it being two of those three teams, and I completely agree with you. And I just don't know if that's healthy. We'll still watch. We'll still root. Still going to be very, from a Kings point of view, it's fine. It's great. I'm not frustrated. I know we weren't going to make the finals this year. Probably not going to make the playoffs this year. Almost certainly not going to make the playoffs this year. So that's fine. I don't care. Let's have fun with it. But if I'm a team, and not just by the way, Toronto or the Wizards or the Bucks with Antetokounmpo, Giannis. But you're the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard and Chris Paul. or excuse me, Kawhi Leonard, you're the Rockets with Chris Paul and James Harden. Holy God, I wouldn't want to be the Clippers right now. And you're Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook, a once-in-a-generation player like Kawhi Leonard. And now you have Paul George. Well, how do you feel about that? You have no chance. There are two teams in the West that have a chance. I mean, a slight chance. And that's San Antonio and Houston. And I say San Antonio like a lot of people because I remember that game one before Kawhi got hurt when they had, what, a 27-point lead on the Warriors? I remember that. And so that stuck in my head. Well, what if Kawhi hadn't gotten hurt? Would the Spurs have beaten the Warriors? No, they probably would not have beaten the Warriors. They probably would have beat the Warriors in game one, and then the Warriors would have reeled off four straight. That's the reality. That's probably what would have happened. The Rockets with Chris Paul and James Harden? Sorry. Man, I'm not sold, nor I'm not even close to sold on the Rockets. Not even close. I don't even know if they'll be as good a team next year as they were last year. Honest to God.
I don't know what it was, but watching them collapse against the Spurs, it felt just very indicative of what that team is and what they're going to be. Like, they just kind of quit. Kawhi didn't even play in game six, and they got killed. The Rockets, I mean, that's kind of when you threw out that bet. The Rockets immediately popped into my head, but then it's like the Rockets aren't beating. Let's say the Warriors get knocked out in the first round. Let's say something crazy happens. I still don't think the Rockets get out of the West.
One thing I looked at with the Rockets last year, and listen, obviously they've got a completely different team this year with Chris Paul. But when I looked at their losses last year, was the Rockets had, what, 18 losses, something like that? Their losses were to Cleveland, Atlanta, which was a middling playoff team in the Eastern Conference, San Antonio, Toronto, Utah, they're all playoff teams. San Antonio again. Memphis. You know, they had a scud in Minnesota, then Memphis again. Golden State, Boston. What the Rockets were to me last year is the Rockets were an absolute paper tiger. They were a team that was going to beat the teams they should beat during the regular season. And then once they got to a point where they faced actual competition over a seven-game series, really good teams, They can't stand up to them. And on the surface, it's kind of a dumb statement. Like, well, they beat the teams they were better than, and then they lost to the teams. Well, of course they did. Stupid. My point being, I don't look at the Rockets and see them as a team that can go to that next level and beat a San Antonio or beat a Golden State. I don't know. Somebody's asking about the T-Wolves next year. No. T-Wolves are not beating the Warriors next year. Sorry. But I'll tell you what, there may not be, you know, take Boston out of the equation, because I love what they're doing for the future. There may not be another team in the NBA that's built better for the future than the Minnesota Timberwolves. But they have to do something. We've gotten to the point now where all the excuses are over. Wiggins has been in the league now for a few years. Karl Anthony Towns is going into his third season. You have Jimmy Butler in there. You have there's no more. Well, the Timberwolves have to win at least 45 games this year, or it's a total failure, in my opinion. At least 45 games. And that, yes, in the Western Conference.
And it feels like there's another step for Karl Anthony Towns to take. Like, it feels like he just hasn't gotten there.
Which is scary.
Yeah.
Which is very, very scary. Yeah. The newsflash, and I think if you asked a lot of people this, they wouldn't get it. Sacramento Kings were a better team than the Timberwolves last year. Kings won one more game than the Timberwolves. No, I don't think most people would guess that.
I would not have guessed that.
And I sure as hell would not have. I was all over the Timberwolves last year, maybe a year early. So we'll see. 31 games for the Timberwolves last year. Yeah, they're going to have to improve at least 14, 15 games next season in the Western Conference. Otherwise, it is a failure. We'll come back and we'll talk about a lot of this with USA Today's Sam Amick as we continue coverage. Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas, huge trade in the NBA. We've also got tickets to give you in the next hour as well. Marvel Universe Live, a family four-pack there in Florida, Georgia line. We'll do that at 8:30 and about 8:45. Sam Amick next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.